Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the book of Haggai, which is a part of the Hebrew Bible that we often refer to as the Minor Prophets. It is the third from last book in our Christian Old Testament, and if you skim through too quickly, you might just miss it, as the entire book usually takes up about a page and a half in most Bibles. We don't have a lot of information about the prophet Haggai, but most scholars agree that the time frame of his work is pretty clear. In the book, there are five prophetic episodes that take place between what we would describe as August to December, 520 BCE. So basically, five short months of ancient prophetic glory. Haggai is speaking to the people of Israel after they had returned from exile after 50 years of living in captivity in Babylon. They have now been living back in war-torn Jerusalem for almost two decades, but the city is still in ruins and the temple is still devastated. It seems that the people have all but given up on rebuilding their community. And this is where our scripture lesson begins. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet take courage now, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when I came out of Egypt. My spirit abides with you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give prosperity. The word of the Lord. This past April, at the beginning of Holy Week, I was at home on a weekday afternoon working on my Maundy Thursday sermon. As is usual with my writing process, I was reviewing recent news in search of sermon illustrations when I saw a breaking headline. The Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris was burning. I had visited the cathedral a couple of times in my early adulthood, and it was stunning in the ways that cathedrals in Europe are. It wasn't necessarily my favorite because of all the tourists, but even with the crowds, it was still breathtaking and beautiful. And the sheer size and ornateness of the building made a striking impression, testifying to the deep faith that long ago generations had had to make such a masterpiece possible. But now the cathedral was burning, and I found myself unable to turn away from the news. I kept watching replays of reports and clips of videos, despite the lack of new information being shared. I was keeping watch, and of course, I wasn't alone. The citizens of Paris and people around the world were holding vigil as emergency responders worked selflessly through the night. French billionaires and everyday people pledged millions of dollars to the rebuilding efforts, and political leaders pledged their commitment to restoration. The world came together, recognizing that a symbol that had once united so many might never be the same. This unity in disaster, however, was ultimately short-lived. By the time the fire was completely extinguished, there was already a fairly steady stream of critique. Why were the wealthy rushing to save this building when they could be saving the lives of millions of poor and needy people around the world? Why was the world so upset by the burning of this one building in Paris when it had hardly blinked at the destruction of entire communities in places like Syria and Yemen? Why were political leaders rushing to respond to this event when they hadn't responded to the plight of citizens who had been protesting in Paris for weeks? And more basically, how does a community move forward when everything seems to be falling apart? The people of Israel, of course, were no strangers to the feeling of hopelessness. While the oldest among them could still remember the glory days before the exile, the reality of their present circumstances threatened to overwhelm them. Certainly, they had seen worse in the brutal years of war and exile, but now, when things were supposed to be getting better, they didn't know how to rebuild their lives or the temple. The poor could barely put food on their tables, and those with a bit of means were wondering whether they should just take care of themselves and their own families. The spirit of the community was broken, and it was unclear how it would ever get fixed. And that's when the prophet Haggai stepped in. It should be noted that Haggai's interest in the rebuilding of the temple distinguishes him pretty significantly from many other prophets in Scripture. Prophets in ancient Israel were fairly suspicious of material excess, and certainly the risks of idolatry were always heightened when opulence was cloaked in religious piety. But Haggai, however, thinks that the rebuilding of the temple is an important step in restoring the hope of God's people. Not because God needed a temple to care for God's people, but because the temple was a tangible sign for the people that God was still present. Haggai believed that the people of Israel were being held captive by their own nostalgic memories of the olden days, when actually there was plenty of reason to focus on the work that God was doing in their present lives, right then and there. Haggai insists, just as his neighbors are giving up hope, that God is still at work and that the people of God are being called to be partners in it. In a recent election cycle, there was a story in the news about a woman named Herman Hardy who has been getting out the vote in her small Alabama community for over 25 years. Having grown up in a sharecropping family in the Deep South, she became a successful nurse in adulthood, and having more means than many in her community, she decided that she wanted to use her resources to give back. Driving her trusty Chevy Tahoe through her rural and impoverished county, she goes door to door during each election season to ensure that all of her neighbors have made it to the polls. It often requires a lot of persuasion and convincing on her part, but she impresses upon her neighbors that their vote matters and that many people before them sacrificed to give them the opportunity. In the article, Herman Hardy noted the widespread poverty and history of discrimination that had plagued her community and said her efforts to get out the vote are so her grandchildren might have a better future. She wanted all of her neighbors to participate so that they might bring about the type of community that could help them to thrive. Herman Hardy deeply believes in the potential of her community, even though the present circumstances are difficult for so many. She is a prophet in her own time, just as Haggai was a prophet in his. And I think the words of Haggai can also serve as an important reminder for us today, not just in places of extreme devastation, although sadly these places are many, but also in places like our own community, where the brokenness might be less than war zones or disaster areas, but still enough to cause heartache and hopelessness. Heartache and hopelessness as we recognize that children in our own community go hungry and that our neighbors often lack adequate health care. Heartache and hopelessness as we face the horrors of gun violence and a crisis of leadership in our schools. Heartache and hopelessness as we wrestle with the toll that addiction and mass incarceration take on our community. The brokenness of our world is so apparent that it might make us wonder if our city and country will ever thrive again. But I think it is exactly in moments like these that the words of Haggai remind us to get to work. And I think such work is just the type of call that those of us in the church might be able to answer. To recognize that God is still with us, even when we are beginning to wonder if all has been lost. To take courage and comfort that God will give us what we need to be a part of God's healing work in the world. Haggai is calling us to give our time, energy, and resources not simply to those closest to us, but also to others in need in our city and world. He is calling us to proclaim our love for God not only when we gather for worship, but also when we give witness to the hope of God in our communities, in our steadfast commitment to the welfare of one another. So let us get to work, for the kingdom of God awaits. Thanks be to God. Amen.